This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And we're back from celebrating? I don't even know. I'm still very tired.
I don't know. I was one with the Force all weekend is what I told people.
Yeah?
They're like, what do you mean? I said I was at a Star Wars thing in Chicago. Where one day it was Tatooine and the next day it was Hoth.
Was it ever really Tatooine?
It wasn't really hot.
Yeah. So yeah. It was definitely Hoth on Sunday.
It might have been. We were on Jeddah.
Okay.
One day.
Yeah.
Jeddah, I think, might have been windy and cool with a desert atmosphere. Yeah. There was one day where it was slightly warm.
It was definitely warm a couple days. But I was telling people the city of Chicago is a fan of Empire Strikes Back because it wanted to make the Wampa Picture Day authentic. On Sunday with the snow.
That's true.
So anyway, if you haven't figured it out, we are just back from Star Wars Celebration. Well, we've been back for a couple days now at this point while we're recording, but it was 6 days in Chicago?
5.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
5 days at the convention. I did a lot of panels.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I did a good amount of panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some with you and some without you.
Yeah, I did same. So I tell you what, I enjoyed all the stuff we saw in the Wind Trust on the celebration stage.
Yeah.
Because that was all amazing. But one of the things I really liked was that Palitoy.
Yeah.
That you didn't go to.
Right.
Just because it was really interesting to see how Star Wars was presented overseas and
I told
in Europe.
You should have went to that Argentina one. Their stuff's crazy.
Yeah. So that would have been cool too. There was there were definitely a couple that I missed. You were just showing me the stuff from Rebels. I missed Rebels because I couldn't get back from the Galaxy's Edge panel in time.
Right.
So that kind of disappointed me just because the last half of the Rebel season coming back till the very end is quite possibly my favorite Star Wars thing ever.
Yeah, and they pretty much talked just about the last season.
Yeah.
Maybe the last season and the last half of the, third season? Was it four seasons?
Four.
Yeah, so they talked mostly about the fourth season.
Yeah.
And that, but you know, the time travel, quote unquote,
sure.
And all that.
Well, yeah, I mean, open it up to the other place or what, I forget what it was called now, was really neat and kind of just adding to the lore
of the
Jedi.
Beyond Worlds.
The World Beyond Worlds, thank you.
Yeah.
The other places, that's all the sunken place. That's Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I will say I was definitely surprised by some stuff as far as panels go. I was definitely surprised at just how positive everybody was in person.
Yeah.
The same can't be said for the celebration Facebook group.
No.
I think there are a bunch of people who were in there complaining who did not go to celebration.
That's possible.
And were just in there complaining.
Yeah.
There was lots of people complaining about security. I never had an issue. I didn't feel like we had to wait overly long for really much of anything necessarily, except for that first day.
The lines were the normal lines that you get at a convention like that size. I mean, you know, anybody who's been to, I've never been to San Diego, but I know San Diego's lines. But anybody who's been to Dragon Con.
Right.
Anybody who's been to a big con.
Yeah.
I've been to a celebration before and trust me, I waited 5 hours in line at the Celebration store for that first one I went to just to get a Darth Vader that said stuff, you know.
Johnny.
Exactly.
buy me.
Not that type of stuff.
Take
with
me
the wretched
home.
Hive of scum and villainy lines. And
oh,
all
nice.
That James Earl Jones actually recorded all the lines for that thing.
That's very cool. I wasn't really disappointed by much, like, or anything. You know, I mean, I mean,
besides, like I was said before we even went, the autograph prices being a little high. That's
they were
the only thing that was, and I didn't get any autographs. So
no, I toyed with a couple right up until the last day, and
yeah.
then I didn't. I toyed with getting a tattoo right up until the last day, and then I didn't. And yeah, it's. I don't know. I had a blast. I had so much fun. I go to something like that. And now I'm like, do I even want to go to like a mixed convention anymore? Like,
what's a mixed convention?
Like the Comic Expo or Comic Con or New York Comic Con or things like that. Like the Soul fandom was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it was Star Wars concentrate. To like the nth degree,
well, right? Yeah,
and
yeah,
I loved it.
You've never been
and
to
so,
a convention like that before.
No, this so was.
For,
I mean, we talked about
it
this.
It was like an experience that you had never had. Whereas
right.
for me, I've been to what the other Star Wars Celebration I went to
and Dragon
I've been
Con.
To,
what four?
Well,
times?
Dragon Con's a mixed convention. I mean,
well, no, yeah, but I'm saying like Dragon Con's a big one.
Well,
too,
big
but,
convention, but like a mixed convention and
yeah.
a straight up like fandom convention. I've been to many Star Trek conventions,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same.
Right.
Vibe.
Like, I would love to go to a Star Trek convention at this point and just enjoy
that.
That.
They really, the only one they really do is the one in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big one, too, is that one. So, you know.
It was neat.
It was fun.
I was on my feet almost the whole time.
Yeah.
I think while we were in the McCormick place, other than panels, I didn't really sit down very much.
Sat down when I needed to, but
yeah.
you know,
there was a lot to see, and I wanted to take as much of it in as I could.
Right, a lot of stuff to see, a lot of cool cosplay, a lot
yeah.
of just cool stuff.
I mean, you were saying you took like 500 pictures.
Yeah,
you
almost
know, I probably
600,
almost 600.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably have about that.
A lot of
I took a lot of pictures of toys,
and
I have a lot of pictures of
panels.
Yeah.
yeah. I took pictures of cosplayers that caught my eye,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, there's only so many Heras you can take pictures of.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seemed to be a very popular one.
Yeah.
Hera was Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Was
there were a lot
one.
Of Maul and a lot of Talons.
Yeah.
Darth Talon. Yeah. There was a lot of Hera and Kanans.
What was the coolest one I seen was the garbage monster from Star Wars.
Oh,
somebody did that one.
I missed that one.
Well, it literally was just, they took a bag.
Was
garbage.
It wrapped around Luke?
No.
Oh.
It was literally just a bag of garbage, it looked like, and it had the eyeball poking out of the top.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that was cool. I seen a boar gullet attached to...
I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah,
to the Bodhi.
Yeah. So that was kind of like, you know, when they're a little bit more creative. Like, I seen a stormtrooper, like one of the special elite stormtroopers, boy, he was all painted white instead of having all the colors and that on
yeah.
him. So that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
A lot of Scarif stormtroopers was cool.
Yep.
Like, there was a bunch of them all gathered together, and I thought that was kind of cool.
There was a stormtrooper that Sabine had tagged. That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
I like that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that one was cool.
The little girl who was the AT-ST legs with BB-8.
Yeah, where she
was. That
was
very inventive.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah, doing BB-8 from Last Jedi.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was a good one. It's like, oh, well, that's fun. A lot of gender bends, right?
Yeah, there was.
I would
that
say
too.
Probably 90% of the Kylo Rens I saw were women.
Yeah.
Saw a handful of Rey men as Rey.
I did not see that.
Which was really cool, and it got me thinking, like,
I seen a couple Slave Leia men.
Well,
so
the best was
Luke's?
Well, the mean. Best was the guy who had the George Lucas beard and mustache and wig on
yeah.
as the Slave Leia and was being dragged around by Darth Mickey.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I seen an X-Wing pilot Mickey.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I saw him too. But no, back to the Rey thing. It was her Jakku get up.
Okay.
And I saw maybe six.
Huh.
And it's like, hey, that's a good idea.
Maybe
and
I just
like,
thought they were Luke Skywalkers.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that it might be cool to do that with the Ahch-To version.
Yeah.
With that gray.
The Jedi training.
Yeah, with the gray vest
right.
and, you know, leg warmers on your arms. But yeah. actually messaged Andrew. I was like, hey, do you guys let gender bent characters into the Apollo?
Yeah, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, X-Wing pilots can be anybody.
Yeah. Well, like they have like, you know,
stormtroopers can be anybody.
Right.
We, you know, found that out at the Mandalorian panel.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about some of the panels we saw?
We can talk about. Yeah.
All right. Let's just start with episode 9.
Right.
So we were in the overflow stage, which was still really cool. But I'm
glad. You
get
that many fans of one thing together. There is an energy in the room.
Right.
That is not like anything you ever experience.
Right.
I've told you like about my experience with a Battlestar Galactica panel at Dragon Con, where it was almost the full cast.
Right.
And at one point, and Edward James Olmos is known to do it at many Battlestar Galactica panels.
So say we all.
And everybody's on their feet.
That's very
cool.
That
type of energy is, you know, something that when you have a fan base and they're all in one room, you can feel it.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I do have to say, if we would have done the celebration stage first and the galaxy stage second, I would have been really disappointed in that galaxy stage.
Yeah.
But with that being the first, I mean, so that's the first panel I've ever gone to.
Okay.
Because, like, we go to these smaller shows and the panels aren't really anything I want to do, but.
Unless it's something you're really interested in.
Right.
I mean, you know.
And I'm not saying the panels are bad. I'm saying they just don't, they weren't interesting to me. But this was really cool. You know, the Disney DJs and hype girls and guys were really funny. Like I didn't expect that. The DJ Elliot over on the celebration stage was great.
Yeah.
He was awesome with kids. And Mark Williams.
Mark Daniels.
Yeah. Who's a stand up, and I've seen his stand up on
He hosts the Disney Parks blog stuff on Instagram and on their YouTube channel.
So he was fantastic.
He's been doing that for a few years now.
Yeah.
And he was really good. I didn't remember the girl's name on the Galaxy stage, but she was very interactive with the audience.
She was really
funny. She walked around in the audience a lot.
Yeah.
And that, and I think that was DJ Dave in there.
It was the Australian guy.
Yeah.
So,
but I like literally she would be out in the she didn't stay on the stage much.
No.
She was out in the audience and she
was
interacting
cool.
And
so Warwick Davis did the same thing.
Yeah.
Going down into the crowd.
Yep.
And I mean he didn't go much past the VIPs, but
yeah, he does it more like a talk show host.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was hilarious.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like I know I watched what was that? Episodes? No. The one that he was on with Ricky Gervais.
I know what you're talking about.
It's not episodes. That was the one with Matt LeBlanc. But anyway, like I watched some of that show every now and then, and he was really funny.
As much as he does like those celebrations where he is on the on that celebration stage, he's done like the last three or four. I'm like, why isn't he doing a talk show?
Exactly.
Yeah, like he really like unless he just chooses not to.
I was gonna say
like,
maybe he just doesn't want to.
Yeah, but I'm like he really does a good job of like. Like he doesn't talk, he gets the people to talk, and it's like that's what you need to do. And I know he was fun. Yeah
The episode 9 panel though was really good. Stephen Colbert, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about him.
He's a fan.
Yeah,
obviously. I mean, you know, he told the story about how he was a fan before.
Yeah, 3 weeks before everybody else.
Anybody who's seen a preview of Star Wars was a fan 3 weeks before anybody else. That's pretty cool. And that was a cool story because I never heard that story before. But he's genuinely a friend of J.J. Abrams.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it was nice to have somebody who could just talk to JJ and not like get starstruck,
not be like
JJ. And then like, you know, he's dealt with enough celebrities over the years that just bringing like everybody out on stage that came out, it was cool.
I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. I was just kind of, I just have mixed feelings about him.
Who else would you have wanted to see?
I don't know.
That's
the thing. It's like, so like who hosted it really didn't matter at the end of the day. J.J. Abrams was really, really good during the panel. He was he was more forthcoming than I expected him to be.
Yeah.
Just because they're trying to keep all of this so much under wraps. The teaser was awesome.
I think that with the effect that Last Jedi had on a lot of the fans, that it needed to be a panel where they were more open to mm-hmm. discussion.
Yeah.
And that, because if they weren't, they would have had a lot of people turned off until the
preview. The teaser.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's the thing, is like, you needed to have the audience.
I'm glad it was not a hostile audience.
I don't see where it would have been a hostile right. audience. So, you know?
Well, I was concerned just because of some of the backlash from The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's just those people weren't there.
JJ or anybody on that stage's fault. You know, Kathleen Kennedy is a businesswoman in the end of the day. So she has to make a decision. And then she made a decision that didn't work.
Right. No, you're right.
And that's why she made the decision to bring JJ back for the last one. I mean, you know. Not every decision that she makes is a good decision, but that's been, she's been in the business long enough that she's made a few bad decisions over the years before Lucasfilm.
The Last Airbender.
Yeah. I was thinking like The Jewel of the Nile. I think she was one of the producers on that too. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But every, you know, one bad movie, you've got a Jurassic Park franchise. Right. So, you know, it's like.
You have Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean, like her and her husband was. The producers of their Jurassic Park movies. So it's like, you know, you can't like just make, you know, you can make a mistake and that's what you're going to get called out for. So
anyway,
she was fine because she was very happy to be there. You could genuinely tell like she was excited because she was on the Star Wars show stage at one point and I got to watch a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And
she was on a couple times.
Yeah. And she was very excited to be there. And I'm happy to see like, you know, that people were excited to see her too, because I know a lot of people blame her for things that have happened over the few years.
Right. Right.
And that, but you know,
yeah, I, you know, it's one of those things where, you're right. People have been blaming her for things for the last couple of years. And, you know, at the end of the day, the creators, not her.
Yeah.
Are the ones who have made the missteps.
Well, and the thing with her is because she's a perfectionist. That's why people have left movies, because she expects these movies to.
Oh.
You know, they have to make money.
I'm so happy. I mean, Disney
is like, you know, we have to pay. We have to make money to pay for buying you guys.
Right.
And that, and it's like she has to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. It's a tough decision to make.
But yeah, I mean, like Josh Trank not being part of a Star Wars movie, I think is for the better.
Yeah.
Colin Trevorrow not being part of the Jurassic or the Star Wars movies is for the better.
And I don't know all the controversy with him. I mean.
I think he just wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah.
And after letting Ryan do his own thing, you know, we saw what happened there.
Right.
And you need someone who had a clear idea of the story that they wanted to tell.
Kind of why you think that the two that were working on Solo were gone.
Because of what happened with
The Last Jedi.
Now, I would be really interested to see just something that they, some of what they did. Because
I mean, if
they were close to wrapping,
you
want to
make
production,
money, you put all that stuff on a director's cut.
Yeah,
but they'll never do.
They'll never do that. I mean, that's like,
I mean, George Lucas did that.
That's like saying you're going to get the Snyder cut of Justice League. It's never going to happen.
No,
you know, I mean, there's even arguments whether it exists or not.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, the Rogue One cut exists.
Right.
The Trevorrow one exists.
No, not Trevorrow.
Wasn't he the one that directed that?
Or no, Gareth.
Gareth
Edwards directed.
Redirected that.
No. Gareth Edwards was the director, and then someone else came in and redid the end.
Are you sure?
I am nearly 99.8% sure.
Gareth Edwards was the one that directed Godzilla, right?
Yeah. Gareth Edwards. Hold on.
I thought Trevorrow was supposed to direct that movie.
No, Trevorrow was supposed to. Gareth Edwards directed it. Yeah.
Yeah, he directed it, the cut. That is the cut.
So he was the director, and then someone came in and changed his ending.
I don't think so.
I'm.
That movie is a straight up, like, his movie because it's Godzilla.
I'm not talking about Godzilla. I'm talking about Rogue One.
Did Gareth Edwards direct Godzilla?
Yeah.
He directed Rogue One.
Godzilla. Yeah, that's what I said.
Right.
But somebody came in and directed it
before him. He came in and fixed whatever was wrong because the original preview was a totally different cut.
All right, hold on.
When everybody's running across the beach with the plans in their hands.
Hands.
I thought that was Trevorrow.
No, no, Trevorrow was supposed to do episode 9 and then it didn't happen.
Oh, well.
Hold on. Let me pull up the thing here.
I just know that Gareth Edwards directed it, the cut that we seen in the theater, because it's almost beat for beat Godzilla. Because I watched them both in one day one time, and I was like, wow.
These seem similar.
These are very similar.
Tony Gilroy did five weeks of reshoots for the end. So Gareth Edwards directed it, and then Tony Gilroy did reshoots and wrote additional scenes, as well as he was the second unit director under Edwards.
Oh, well. Then
so Edwards had input during everything.
Yeah.
And then Gilroy oversaw the edit and additional photography.
I thought there was
film.
Somebody else that was directing that, though.
It says here, Gilroy oversaw the edit and additional photography of the film, which tackled several issues, including the ending. In August, Gilroy was given screenplay credit alongside Witz and was paid $5 million for his work on the film.
Okay.
Additionally, Christopher McQuarrie, Scott Burns, and Michael Arndt were all contributed to the script at various stages of development.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. But, I mean, she had, you know, there was a little bit of a hiccup there, right, with Edwards.
Sure.
There was the hiccup with Lord Miller, which brought in Ron Howard, who, you know, is fine. You know, Solo, I still think Solo was a very fun movie and I enjoy it, but it was, I still think it was wholly unnecessary for them to make.
Well, any of these movies are wholly unnecessary.
Well,
for them to
I
make.
Mean, well, yeah.
We learned that with the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the episode 9 stuff was great. The cast was having a lot of fun. John Boyega, like, just stole the show. One, he came out in a Cliff Huxtable sweater.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just the, it was the John Boyega show, which was great. And no complaints there.
That was fine. Yeah. I liked that Billy Dee's back.
Yeah. Billy Dee's back. Lando never left him.
Well, no. It's just one of those things where he is Lando.
Yeah. Yeah. One and the same. And then the trailer teaser was great. It was so much fun.
I don't think you need to see even more than what that teaser shows.
I think if they're smart, they will do a less is more approach with this one and they won't show a whole lot of footage.
Yeah.
And JJ's not really one to want to do a lot of trailers anyway.
Like it'll be one more.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we'll get a full trailer some point in the next month or two.
Avengers.
Probably, I was going to say probably Spider-Man in July.
Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it was satisfying.
It was. Ian McDiarmid coming out and, you know, roll it again.
Yeah.
Was a lot of fun because he was having a hard time getting that line out because was laughing.
Yeah.
He thought it was funny.
Well, it was just the crowd.
Yeah.
The surprise of the crowd and him knowing what he is in that
right.
movie and, you know, the crowd not expecting that at all.
Right, right, right. So.
So that was cool.
All right. So then I think that was the only panel we did on Friday. Oh, did we do Hasbro? Was that Friday?
I think Hasbro might
have
been Friday.
Yeah, Hasbro was on Friday.
That was cool, but it's just a trade show.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any big reveals.
There was nothing new. That
the biggest reveal was the San Diego convention stuff, like
yeah.
the San Diego exclusives, which are all pretty cool, but, you know.
And then the multicolored action figures with the extra bits.
What are you talking about?
Like, when they have, like, the Darth Vader where his
head
is
that's
blue.
A San Diego.
Oh, that's a San Diego.
Yeah, that's
okay.
a San Diego.
Oh, I thought they were just going to sell those.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a San Diego.
Anyway.
I don't think they would make much money if they tried to sell that in a store.
I don't know. I mean, everyone would try and get all the different parts so they could take them apart and do all purple or all green or yellow. So that was
the
interesting. I think that was the longest we waited in line for anything, really. I mean,
no,
other,
I was in the Rebels line.
Other than the Hasbro booth.
I was in the Rebels line.
Yeah.
The Rebels line was pretty long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was I realized what time it was, and I was like, oh, I should go get in line for this. I was like, I didn't think about it. And I was like, oh yeah, I should go get in line for this. Cause I was just walking around and looking at stuff and get in that room that was like adjacent to the Galaxy stage that is where they were doing Rebels, and was like, okay, this is a big line. And like, I never realized there was this many Rebels fans before.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
So while you were doing that, we were in the Galaxy we were on the celebration stage for Galaxy's Edge. And I'm not going to say too much about it because I know you want to be surprised when you go.
I know enough.
I will say
Josh Gad hosted that one, right?
Josh Gad was great.
Yeah.
He was absolutely. And they did a bunch of like pre-produced bits with him.
Right.
Which were really good. And I have them all. So if you ever want to watch them. But
the you can go on the Star Wars
YouTube channel.
All that stuff is there now.
Yeah.
So
except for the Mandalorian trailer.
Well, the Mandalorian, anything with the Mandalorian except the panel is there. They actually like have it where Mandalorian will return and it counts down.
Yeah.
Because I went on and watched a little bit of that one. But they had all the behind the scenes production people for Galaxy's Edge on stage.
Yeah.
They talked about, and this I watched in the actual exhibitor hall, they're joining with a group that is does a lot with the STEM stuff and that, and making it part of their actual
curriculum.
Yeah. So that's cool. Disney getting involved with that and you know, pushing education is always a good thing.
Yep.
So that was cool to watch. I watched that and I watched the first little bit with Josh Gad trying to get into the actual park.
That was funny.
And that, but they had, I mean, they had enough spoilers on the floor because they had a Galaxy's Edge booth there.
Right.
Which was not easy to get into at all. I didn't even try.
Yeah, because, I didn't try either.
But you could see enough that it was like cool because they had a cart from the First Order ride that's going to be there. And they had stuff that'll be sold in the stores, which if you look online, you can find pictures of and that. They talked about how the doll that Jen Erso has in Rogue One is actually going to be sold at Doc Nar's antiques shop.
Right.
And they had different ones. Like I've seen pictures from the booth and there was a Darth Vader and there was a Stormtrooper and there was a couple other figures. So that was cool to see. And like, you know, it's cool to know that it's very immersive.
Yeah.
And that I'm curious to see like if Doc Nar is actually going to be there.
Yeah.
Because I know that, what'd you call it? It's there. His name just left my mind. The pirate. Hondo Onaka's there.
Yep.
So I know that.
As an animatronic robot.
Right, yeah. He's
voiced by
like,
Jim Cummings. And
well, yeah. I mean, Jim Cummings played his voice on the cartoon. So it's like, you know. Yeah, that's a cool YouTube video. Go on and find the video where Jim Cummings just says, "Let's get dangerous," and every single like and all the voices that he's played, because he does it in Hondo's voice too, and that. But Hondo's there, kind of like a Hall of Presidents type
sort of
animatronic,
a little more advanced.
Yeah, well, they said that like everything with all their animatronic characters in Galaxy's Edge are going to be a little bit more advanced because they're starting to get to the point where they could autonomously walk around.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, that's gonna be very interesting.
Westworld.
You know.
But and then the interesting thing, like product placement, right? The Coke, Diet Coke and Sprite thermal detonator bottles is cool. And then having Coke break from their branding standards to have Coca-Cola written in Arabash, you know, is
well,
very
I mean, you
cool.
think around the world that Coca-Cola is written in different languages.
It is.
So,
it is.
Know.
But like to be written
a fictional language,
gibberish, essentially, you know, and it's still very much you can tell that it says Coca-Cola. But yeah, that
I'd be
was
curious to see eBay the day after Galaxy's Edge opens in L.A. and see how much people are trying to sell those bottles for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, don't buy them. Don't buy them if you're.
Yeah.
Just ask your friends if they're going to Disney World to get you one.
Or
don't
just go.
Buy them.
So, it opens in June. in
May. End
May.
Of May.
Yeah, end of May, and then end of August.
Right.
So when you guys go, it should be
It'll be
firing on all cylinders.
Hopefully. The Resistance, or the First Order ride, is the one where they said that they don't know if it'll be open by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that I don't know if they're having technical issues or whatever, or just installing it's a little bit more than the Millennium Falcon ride. But, you know, it's all good. I don't plan on being able to get on any rides there.
So I just want to
walk around.
And walk around. So there's going to be an app that you download that you use to interact with the environment.
Okay.
Which will be interesting. And then
Disney's gotten a little bit more immersive with that in the last couple of years, because you can do that in other areas. It's not interacting, but it's directing you and giving you ideas of stuff and that. So
it'll translate some of the, like,
right, if you hold it up, it'll hold it up, right?
So a lot of that AR stuff, and then the lightsabers. So there's the lightsaber shop where you can make your own high-end lightsaber.
Yeah, they were showing those down there.
And then there's another, like, place where, like, you can kind of stumble upon to get, like, a black market lightsaber.
Okay.
So it's very cool. What
I know that, like, and this is stuff that was released before the convention, there's going to be a First Order shop, and there's going to be a Resistance shop. So you can buy different products in different shops. And then there's Doc Nars, Antiquities. And that, which, if some of the stuff they were showing in the booth is there, there's some cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I seen Padme's headdress, and I seen General Grievous's head, like the skull of the robot. Right. And that, and I'm like, that's cool stuff. That's a cool idea to do that, because there's going to be people who will want that stuff.
I'd like to buy that. And
there's
going
to be Black Series figures that are exclusive to the parks.
Right. Which is some repacks. Hondo.
Well, Hondo's new, and DJ Rex.
Yeah, DJ Rex this time. Not Captain Rex anymore, DJ Rex.
Right.
So.
Got out of the piloting business. Retired from Star Tours.
He was fired. Yeah. they talked about that.
He retired from Star Tours.
They talked about how he was let go due to poor performance.
Right. So, I mean, and there's a First Order pack that has Commander Pyre and a Mountain Trooper.
Yeah.
Which Commander Pyre is from Resistance.
Right.
And that, and the Mountain Trooper is just a new creation for Galaxy's Edge.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Because they're on Batuu, and there's a lot of mountains on Batuu.
Yes, there are. So I think we see Batuu in the trailer for Episode 9, actually.
Oh, I wasn't
so
paying that close
it
attention.
Looked like one of the A-Wings was
maybe
coming down.
Yeah, maybe
so.
That's Batuu.
But I wasn't sure. Like, it looked like it had the spires.
Yeah.
But I
mean,
think
there's enough with Batuu from the Alliances novel, the Thrawn Alliances novel, and then there's a Galaxy's Edge comic book coming out next week.
Yeah.
So that'll have the story of Batuu with the First Order.
And there's
control.
Also a book about how Hondo ended up with the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Speaking of the trailer real quick, the A-Wing. I think Poe is flying around in his mom's old A-Wing in Episode 9.
Maybe.
Because, you know, the black X-Wing got blowed up.
Oh, everything got blowed up. So.
But anyway. All right. So then there was The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which I think is the thing I came out most excited for.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The trailer was awesome. The whole, like, little making of is awesome.
The opening sequence.
Yeah, the opening sequence was great. The
finding
whole,
out that Carl Weathers is on the show was cool.
And then
because I had only heard about
Gina Carano
and
Pablo Picasso.
Yeah, Pablo.
Or not Picasso.
Pascal.
Pascal, thank you.
Yeah.
The Red Viper. But the story that they shared about the 501st.
Yeah, that was cool.
Where they didn't have enough stormtrooper costumes, and Jon Favreau goes to Dave Filoni and asked, "Hey, do you know where we can get more of these?" And Dave Filoni says, "Don't worry, I got a guy."
Yeah, I know a lot of stormtroopers.
So, and it's really cool that they now, for the first time ever, are a part of a Star Wars production.
It makes sense.
I mean,
you know.
Also, for the first time ever, Star Wars is being shot in the United States.
Yeah.
For live action.
Yeah.
Being shot right outside L.A.
I don't think that's the first time, though, because they shot Return of the Jedi. They shot some of the Tatooine stuff for Return of the Jedi in the deserts.
Okay. They didn't go back to Tanzania?
No.
Tunisia, sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure they shot some of the sail barge stuff out in the deserts in California.
I thought they used the mere woods for the redwoods for the Ewoks. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, John Favreau was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, derp. Anyway, dang it, Favreau. No, but that looks really great. And that looks
Favreau
like a true...
Favreau's like Grunberg or what?
No, he never would be because Chef is like...
That's who you should have got the autograph. You should have got Grunberg's autograph.
Well, I told you... no, I didn't tell you. I was going to tell you. I was going to see if I could do a picture with Grunberg and if he'd let me do a picture just flipping him off. Mm-hmm. So, or just
or
going...
the fist.
Just going like, you know, how I shake my fist every time I say Grunberg.
Traitor.
Anywho. I didn't want to waste my money. So... And plus, like, I was told...
You spent a lot of money.
I was told on many, many posts not to give millionaires my money for photo ops and autographs and to buy stuff from artists. And I took that to heart.
Millionaires.
That's what some people were saying about
Star Wars,
actors.
Like, Star Wars actors who were in Star Wars 40 years ago are millionaires?
I don't know.
X-Wing pilot Blue is a millionaire? No.
But... No, I did spend a lot of money. I bought a lot of stuff.
You gave all the millionaires your money.
So, I bought a lot of art.
Yeah.
So, I got a bunch of stuff that for me and the kid and the wife, and I bought her birthday presents, which her birthday's today as we're recording this. So, happy birthday.
I didn't realize that. I've been at work all day. So.
That's all right. And then, what else? Oh, back to The Mandalorian. The whole thing with IG-88.
Well, just the
doing the thing
the
that he did
trailer in general. I mean, you know, it was cool to see IG-88 being a robot that you go like I literally was talking to people about it. And it's like, yeah, you realize that George Lucas didn't have the money to do with that character what he wanted to do.
I'm sure.
I mean, Filoni is Lucas's Padawan. So he knows stuff.
Yep.
He's on that trust tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I think
you know,
he's the only one on that
to see a DeVorian in the trailer, to see, you know, just dirty stormtroopers and, you know that this is the Wild West.
This is the fall after the fall of the Empire, after Return of
Favreau
the Jedi.
Favreau explained it really well that this is what happened in the West after the Civil War was over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what happened in Star Wars. It was a Civil War and, you know... All hell's breaking loose.
Yeah. I like the little swerve about Gina Carano's character being a former rebel shock trooper who is dealing with PTSD. So,
yeah.
That was really cool. I love her.
Well,
she's
you figure
awesome.
All those people that were with Han and his crew on Endor were shock troopers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It'll be interesting if it turns out she was one of them.
If Rex shows up, that would be kind of cool.
That would be really neat.
If she was on Endor with Rex and Rex shows up, because they could do that story.
Yeah, they could.
There are enough people that you could hire that look like Rex.
Oh, yeah.
And that, and just dub Dee Bradley Baker's voice in.
That would be so cool. So The Mandalorian was definitely very high on my list on Sunday.
And if you are listening and you didn't have that idea and you use that idea, I want to be invited on set. I will... take on makeup. I will put makeup on, even though I don't want to. I will play an alien, but I want to be on set.
I mean, you don't really need that much makeup to look like an alien.
You know.
So maybe just paint you red.
Yeah, you know.
You've got the devil eyebrows going on right now,
right?
The goatee and all that fun stuff. Maybe just glue some horns.
I think that would be a cool idea that she was on Endor.
Yeah.
And if Rex showed up, that would be like really cool since
that
Dave Filoni is working on this.
Yeah.
That would just be kind of a cool thing if Rex shows up for an episode or something.
Or even just a scene.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He shows up and they kill him.
Nah, they wouldn't kill Rex. Rex will die and be an old man.
Little Dave might kill Rex.
Little Dave will kill everybody. Little Dave's talking about killing Ahsoka Tano in the Clone Wars miniseries.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so. Then
Little Dave
could...
was the best gift that somebody could give.
Yeah.
To Dave.
Well, I got to shake Little Dave's hand when I met Anne.
Yeah.
So that was really neat.
Did you see the bottom of the shoe?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. So then on the other thing that happened on Sunday, which was almost as great as The Mandalorian, was Clone Wars panel.
Yeah.
My favorite part about the Clone Wars panel is whenever they went to show a clip, Dee, Ashley, and Sam.
They hadn't seen it.
hadn't seen it, and they jumped off of the couch they were sitting on
and sat on the floor
of the stage to watch it, and like with just genuine glee.
Yeah.
And if there's anything else that I came away from that is these people freaking love what they do.
Well, they and love they, working with each other.
And exactly. And they put nothing but passion and care into this work.
Yeah.
And we will be rewarded greatly for it.
Yeah. We're getting a 12 episode miniseries
finale.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to call it a miniseries.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it is.
So the Bad Batch, I had seen some of the animatics of that already.
Right.
But seeing it rendered.
Well, the Bad Batch had been talked about before Clone Wars ended.
Right.
The Bad Batch animatics were on the Clone Wars Lost episode yep. stuff. So it's like the Bad Batch was known about, but nobody ever thought they'd see the Bad
right.
Batch.
So getting to see that is cool.
Bradley Baker called him the A-Team of the Star Wars universe. Yeah. And I'm like watching it going, yes, they are the A-Team.
Wow. And then Ashley.
Can't wait for those YouTube videos with the A-Team music and
yeah.
the Bad Batch.
So we'll have to make some.
Yeah.
So Ashley's response to everything was awesome.
Yeah.
As far as like just the tears of joy.
Yep.
Seeing the Ahsoka scene with the 501st. Is that no, they're not the 501st, are they? Rex's unit?
I think they are.
Yeah. They were. Yeah, they were the 501st. Yeah. So seeing that and then you know, getting to see that like done in the trailer, which was really like I thought really special. Ahsoka got a lot of time in that trailer.
What? It's Ahsoka's story.
Looking awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
It is an Ahsoka yeah. story.
So I like that. I like that they didn't even like
I think
mess around with
the
how
thing
she got
that,
the
why Disney
white lightsabers. So.
Wanted him to do that.
Yeah.
Was because Ahsoka's story wasn't finished.
No, not even
in Clone
close.
Wars. And the next time we seen her was in Rebels.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much him. And he said it. He goes, this is going to explain stuff that you've seen in Rebels, like Darth Maul calling her mm-hmm. Lady Tano. And, you know, just little things mm-hmm. are going to get explained in this. And not everything's going to get explained, obviously, because, you know, you want to leave that story open. But
yeah.
it's going to explain why she was where she was when we see her as Fulcrum.
And then the Darth Maul little clip there.
Well, yeah.
Was, you know, I was expecting Kenobi.
Yep.
Why are you here? And it's like, damn.
Yep.
Sam is awesome.
Oh, this whole crew is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and they brought them all out. The whole,
yeah, they brought
the whole
everybody
cast
out.
Came out. So it was cool to see them in person doing their voices.
I don't think it's fair that Matt Lanter is so good at playing Anakin and so handsome.
Yeah.
Like, just not fair.
You know. And it was cool that he acknowledges that Anakin's voice is his voice just a little deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so. You know, he's pretty much like, I know that's my voice.
Yeah.
And that, but it was cool. Like, you know, I've met Matt Wood, but it was cool to see Matt Wood doing mm-hmm. General Grievous.
Yep.
And not having any technical support, just doing General
yeah.
Grievous, like coughing and doing the whole bit was cool. And that, and just, you know.
Tom Kane is always
James
awesome.
Arnold Taylor, yeah. just the hello there yeah. and the audience
hello
just went
there.
Nuts. Yeah. That was cool. It was cool to see them on stage. Mm-hmm. It was cool to see Jon Favreau on stage
yeah.
because, you know, how where else are you going to, you know, besides if you're a Disney, like, stockholder
yeah,
where else
right.
are you going to see Jon Favreau on stage talking about stuff that he's passionate
yeah.
about?
So I mean
and acknowledging that the stuff he's doing in Mandalorian is because he's learned from Iron Man and he's learned from Jungle Book and even
yeah.
The Lion King to do some of the technical
yeah.
stuff
oh,
that's
yeah.
being done in this show. And it's like, you know, talking about all the directors he's working with. I mean, Bryce Dallas Howard and Takiya Waititi and you know, it's cool that they brought in people who the first question he asked them is, do you like Star Wars?
Right.
And, you know, that was how they got hired as directors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, that's cool. That's a cool thing to do. Like,
very,
do
very
you
cool.
like Star Wars? Yes.
He slips them a piece of paper with two yeah. boxes. Do you like Star Wars? Check yes. Check no.
Yep.
And then, you know.
No, it's more like he probably just come into a room
yeah.
and it's just the light over the table. And
yep.
Larry sits down and goes, do you like Star Wars? And if they say no, just two Death Troopers come walking
or if they even stutter.
Out of the dark and
like,
just
yeah.
pull
like,
them out.
If they're like, yes.
I meant yes. I meant yes.
It's, do you like Star Wars? Yes. And then the Death Troopers dragged him out of the chair.
Because in a black room, a Death Trooper would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in the trailer. Terrifying. They are in the trailer. It's not like, you know, the trailer's going to show up. The Death Troopers are in the trailer. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm glad because they didn't get enough screen time.
In Rogue One.
In Rogue One. Yeah. And I think they're a really cool design.
They are.
And just the idea that they might be like half dead.
Oh, is that what you were thinking?
Well, no, that's something that they talked about. That the Death Troopers were stormtroopers who had been severely injured and were experimented on.
Okay.
That's why they spoke a different language. Like, you know, in Rebels, some of them spoke, you know, regular Interlac or whatever.
Basic.
But like in Rogue One, they do a lot of clicking at each other and chirping.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, you know, everybody was like, why are they doing that? And I think like in the Rogue One visual guidebook, it acknowledges that they were experimented on.
Awesome.
And I'm like, if they a bunch of Frankenstein monsters dressed as stormtroopers is kind of a cool idea.
It's a goddamn horror show. Right, all I'm all in.
Yeah. But just dirty stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I think, you know, stormtroopers white are like common, but like, you know, and just see a stormtrooper go, there's four of us and one of you. And
I like those odds.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was a cool line.
And then, I really,
that was literally felt like a line from a Western type thing. And I'm like, that's cool.
Well, his whole, the way he carried himself. And I know we're jumping around here. Sunday was my favorite day.
Well, you can go watch the panels on, like I said, on StarWars.com, Star Wars YouTube channel. And it's one of those things where we don't have to go over every detail of the panel. If you want to watch
the panel,
if you're a fan and you didn't get to go, which I'm sorry. Go watch the panel.
I did like when he like was like, what do you want me to audition for? An alien?
Like this he didn't, or that? He didn't know
and
that
they're
he
like,
was.
No, you're the Mandalorian.
Yeah. It's like, it will blow your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you just went in for an audition. You didn't know.
I don't think he auditioned. I think
I think that they had auditions, but they were not telling people what they were auditioning for. And that it's kind of the same thing as when they told the story about the 501st and said, you know, we need you for something.
Just show up here at this time with your gear.
Well, what do you need us for? And they're like, just show up. Just come on down. And then, you know, you walk on set. And you're on set of a Star Wars production. And it's like, well, okay.
You're a stormtrooper now.
Yeah. And literally, you're a screen official stormtrooper.
Which is awesome for those guys.
Yeah.
And girls.
And Carl Weathers loved that. He was like, the girls and the guys that did that. It's like, psh, you know.
Well, I thought it was funny, too, because they were like, they were worried about, like, how are we going to direct these people to be stormtroopers?
They know.
And they are stormtroopers. Yeah.
They were directing the actors playing stormtroopers, probably. So, you know.
Yeah, it was cool. Very, very cool.
I don't know. I had a good time altogether.
Yeah?
I enjoyed, you know, seeing all the stuff I've seen. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed meeting a lot of like Instagram people that I followed. So that was cool. You know, Casey introduced me to a few people. And
you met Yak Face. Did you meet Yak Face?
I met Yak Face and I met Order 66 Junkie, which I had been following him for a while. So
he looks like the WWE wrestler, Kurt Hawkins.
He actually did wrestle at one point.
Yeah.
Like he put up one of the flashback or turn back Thursday things or something that he had been a cage wrestler for a while. So.
Oh, MMA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's still wrestling.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. No, I had a blast in Chicago. Thanks to Matthew from the Airbnb we used. I thought it was pretty nice. Good little home base.
A place to lay your head is all you really need when it comes to a convention like that.
I will say one of the things I found really cool, and it's just kind of about like the state of the world now, right?
Yeah.
It's like normally you go to something like that, like any kind of convention, not just Star Wars.
Yeah.
And like you stay in the city center. You stay nearby.
Well, yeah, sure.
And I was on the, I was on the train going back Sunday night.
Yeah.
When you guys all went up to Casey's. And, you know, I'm sitting there with my Star Wars gear and stuff. And there were people who were taking the train much further than I was who were speaking 10 different languages.
Yeah.
Right. And so they weren't Chicago natives. And it was really cool to see how like Airbnb kind of opened up the city to people.
Well, yeah.
Because
I think, like,
they got
a lot
out
of the trains
just
in and
that
out
block.
That we were riding on was a lot of Star Wars people. Like we were interacting with people that we would never interact with. Like just in regular street clothes.
Yeah.
But you see people carrying around Star Wars Celebration
or the lanyard.
Bags
the lanyards are what really
Yeah, the lanyards
out.
Are what were like, you know, everybody was wearing their lanyard, which I think was a cool thing that people did. And it's like one of those things where it opens you up to conversation.
Yeah.
So that was, that was fun.
So,
and it was, it literally, like, you know, just going to conventions like Star Trek conventions and being at, you know, panels where it's like focused on one thing. This was that same vibe for me. It's one of those things where when you all have the passion for, you know, that one thing, you're all just one big happy family.
I was just so happy to see other, like, and I know other people love Star Wars more than I do. Yeah. Right. But just to be in the room with the people who love Star Wars more or as much as I do.
Yeah.
And like, being positive about it and being happy and being like open with each other and like excited for each other. And, you know,
I mean, you know, like I said, there's people that are more excited about something, like, you know, I know there's fans of Rebels out there, and I know that, you know, there's fans of Ahsoka Tano and all that, but to be in a room standing in line and realize that you're in a room with about 500 people and going, I never thought about like 500 people like in a room, the same thing that I'm in a room for.
Well, on the Galaxy stage, time. I think it's closer to 1,000.
Well, yeah, that, and I mean, you know, it, but like in the room at the moment, it was just one of those things where it was like, this is just really strange, but I get it. I totally get it. I mean, you know, it's a different thing from walking around on the floor where you know that there's 50,000 people and it's like one room. When you're in one room and you're like, wow, there's this many people that love this as much as I do, or more than I do and less than I do. So, you know, but, you know, I've loved it my whole life. So,
Yeah, it was just very fun.
I loved watching the little kids. I mean, the little kids were fun because it's just one of those things where it's the same as like going to Disney. And, you know, we have a passion for it. We're adults. We're very aware of everything about it. But to just see kids like just loving it.
Yeah.
And that, a lot of little kids were cosplaying, and I'm like, that was so cool. And that, but it's, that's what's fun about going to those type of conventions, is just watching the kids like love it, you know, and you know that when they're in their 40s, they're still going to love it and that. So,
yeah. Like, I mean, I brought Haley home a bunch of shirts, and she's very happy, and she was very mad at me for not taking her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like,
I'm mad at you for not taking her too. Well, she would have had fun.
She would have had fun. And I'll be honest, if we were just going for Saturday and Sunday, I absolutely would have taken her, but she wasn't missing school to go to that. So
there were a lot of kids there missing school.
There were a lot of kids there missing school, but her grades were not what they should have been this
year. There's a lot of kids that were there that's grades weren't what
they were. Well, I'm sure they are, but I'm trying to be a responsible parent and teacher that, like,
are you saying that the people who brought their kids to the Star Wars celebration are not responsible parents?
If their grades aren't good, maybe.
Their kids weren't doing the homework after the convention?
No, they weren't.
Oh, yeah, they were.
So, we did eat a lot of good food, though. And I just want to say, Chicago is a great food city. And I could go there for vacation and just
eat.
That Parish 14 that we went to was really good.
Yeah.
You got a big, giant sampler of things that all looked amazing.
I think it was like the appetizer sampler, and it's like, you can't go wrong with an appetizer sampler.
So you got some wings,
that
you got
literally
some sliders,
was like everything on their appetizer menu. And
I think, was there shrimp on there?
There was shrimp on there. Yeah, the shrimps were actually on skewers put into the burgers.
Yeah, okay.
And that, so they were gone pretty fast. Yeah, I like shrimp.
Oh, so. Yeah, me too. Like, as much as I liked the jerk chicken,
I couldn't feel my lips for a few hours afterwards.
So the hot sauce. Okay. So I don't know what
it is. So I've had spicy stuff, and I've had, like, you know, some Indian food at Disney and some Jamaican food at Disney. But I was like, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to try all the sauces. And one of the sauces was very hot.
It was that
real
red one, right?
But it wasn't hot, like, you're like, I didn't have a red one.
It was like a dark brown,
red,
reddish
brown. I had a dark
brown
one, and I had a green one, and then I just had the regular, like, barbecue sauce looking
one. Okay, so that dark brown one is what David and I had with ours, and it was like, it was hot sauce.
Well, yeah.
Right? And
but it wasn't hot sauce like we think of hot sauce here, like, you know,
it
when you go into a restaurant and it's like burns your mouth.
So
this was like something where you didn't feel it until after you were done eating. And I was like, that's the best hot, the hot thing I've ever
had.
And
it tasted so good.
Yeah.
So,
like, literally, I was like, there was remnants of the hot sauces, and I just took the burgers and was cleaning out the dishes. So. And I'm like, that was good food. Portillo's was good.
As much, real quick, Parish 14. As much as I liked the jerk chicken I got, that red beans and rice with the sauce over top of it was my favorite thing I ate.
Yeah, I didn't have that
all weekend.
The catfish looked awesome too.
The cat, I kind of was like, David didn't finish, and it was like, like you wanted to try. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't have had a problem with that, but
that was good. Portillo's was good. I've never had like that.
You got the Italian beef and sausage, right? Yeah. And so it was both. It was the sausage with the beef on top of it. Yeah. So which I is a good sandwich. Did you get it dipped?
It was dipped because it literally went through my bag. Like if I wouldn't have been holding my bag from the bottom, my sandwich would have been on the floor.
So
and I was like, you know, I knew it was dipped, but I didn't do like heavy like super dip. I just asked for like the medium.
Where they pour it on it
type thing. But it's like, that was just good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know what the name of the Mexican restaurant was that I had at Casey's.
Yeah.
But that was good.
So
that
the night you guys. Tacos. Yeah. And the night you did that, I went to Chinatown.
Yeah.
Because one, I hadn't been to Chinatown in Chicago in a long time.
And yeah.
Two, I just needed a break from you guys. Not like in a bad way. I just, you know, I really wanted to watch Game of Thrones, and with you being gone and waiting to watch it on Tuesday night, it made it much easier.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to watch it on my computer with my headphones on. But we went to Three Happiness, and oh, dude, I mean, I sent you the picture.
Yeah.
The dumpling, like, I mean, I don't have a huge hand. I have a big hand. The dumpling was literally as big as my fist.
Oh, that's cool.
And the crab rangoons were literally filled with lump crab meat.
Yeah.
So
you can't complain about that.
I'm absolutely not. And so like Ben and I got three appetizers and two dishes, and with tip it was $38.
Nice.
Whereas like the same amount of food here, I'm paying like 50.
Yeah.
And I'm not nearly as satisfied with what I got.
And we had Lou Malnati's, which was good.
That was good. Yeah. That was a fun little story with the mess ups with the pizza, but you know, no big deal. He gave you a free cookie cake.
It was funny because the guys who they messed up with were also Star Wars Celebration
attendees. And I saw that one guy with the Lando shirt later on in the weekend, still wearing the Lando shirt. Hey. So
he likes Lando.
Yeah. Well, it was a cool shirt, too. But he was smart to wait in line the first day for that because it sold out almost immediately.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't make it to Saturday.
Cool.
I was I went into the Celebration store twice.
Yeah.
I went in on Sunday night, and I went in on Monday morning.
Right.
And I was on Sunday night, I was talking to one of the guys working in there and just kind of asking you know, I meet someone new, I start asking questions. And he was like, I was asking about different shirts and like, because there were a couple that I wanted to get that weren't out.
Right.
And he's like, I think we're sold out. The Ahsoka shirt sold out on the first day.
Well, sure.
The Lando shirt was gone by Friday, even though we were trying to hold them back. And, you know, they had the Rise of Skywalker shirts, but they only had 3XLs. And it's like, why? Like,
it's just a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I mean, yeah.
You know.
I mean, I understand. And
big and tall stores are.
I just don't understand why they were only putting out 1,300 a day. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm Reed Pop.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to them and saying, okay, whatever the Star Wars shirt is with the title, you need to make enough of those for every person who has a ticket.
Do you think that Reed Pop had much say in Star Wars store?
I don't think so. No. But from their perspective, think about this. If they have 50,000 people there all wearing that shirt at some point throughout the weekend, that's a really cool optic for them to share you know, be like, look how fun it is. And it's a community and it is. I mean, it's not like it's not that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. All in. I had a blast. It's going to be in Anaheim next year.
The other panel.
We went to
Resistance.
Oh, the Resistance. I finished.
Thank them.
I finished Resistance, by the way.
Yeah. I want to thank them for playing the first episode.
That was
of
really
second
cool.
Season. That was very unexpected and very awesome.
And it was very good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the second season. I literally binged watched the first season while we were up there.
Yeah.
And was just like, you know, that was the make or break on going to that panel. And I'm like, I'm glad I finished it. So I got to see them talking about the show, being as passionate as the Clone Wars cast
and the Rebels cast and the Mandalorian cast,
you know,
and the Episode
it was
9
very
cast.
Cool that, you know, Dave Filoni is on that show, but he is more like taking a back seat and letting
he's
other people
he's
run
the
it.
Force ghost pushing that show
well
along,
and he said like, you know, that
the showrunner called
the showrunner is called Padawan.
Yeah, George. Tave calls him Padawan. Yeah. So,
but that, that's cool because it's like, you know, we kind of know where Resistance is going to be at, and it's in the Last Jedi realm of things. So that's kind of cool. And that was a great panel to leave on, I guess.
Christopher Sean, is that the name? Like, he could play Kaz. Yeah, he could play Kaz in the movie. And
the only thing I had seen him in was Hawaii Five-0 before that, and he played like a mildly bad guy in that.
So I'm just saying he could play Kaz in like episode 9 as an older Kaz.
Any of them could play their characters.
The one who plays it's not Miko, what's her name? The base's captain, his daughter. I mean, she was
Doza?
Yeah, Doza's daughter.
Yeah.
She was so little in real life. It's like, oh my God, she
looked
like
the character. Well, she looked like the character, and it was cool to see that cosplay. Like, the first time I seen that cosplay was probably the third day in, and it was, you know, a little girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, they got it. I'm like, they know. Like, Star Wars. And
there was a lot of really good Rebel cosplay.
Lucasfilm knows, but it was cool to see.
Or not Rebel, Resistance cosplay.
Yeah, it was just cool to see, like, that there was Resistance cosplayers there. Because I was like, you know, that show was one of those ones where a lot of fans were like, I don't know. And then it's like, to see the kids dressed up, because that's going to be their first Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool.
So, very cool.
Very satisfying.
Yep, it was a great time. Thank you, Reed Pop. Thank you, Chicago. Thanks, Casey and
Roger
and
Chris. So, Reed Pop isn't doing Anaheim.
No?
I'm pretty sure Reed Pop's not involved in Anaheim.
Oh, so Anaheim 2020. I agree with you guys. I think they needed to skip a year and do it in 2021. But with the Empire Strikes Back 40th anniversary being next year,
I
kind of get it.
I get the feeling there's something else that's coming that they haven't announced yet.
But I think I might go. I don't know. I had a lot of fun. Like, I would definitely love to go. So, I will say the one
to see when they do it.
Yeah.
What time of year they do it in.
The one regret. One regret I had.
Not taking a winter coat.
No, I was fine actually. Was not doing VIP.
I'm being sarcastic.
Not doing the VIP. It would have been worth the money.
Yeah.
To do the VIP.
Would have been worth the money.
Because the couple people I talked to who did it raved about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There's perks to doing that type of stuff. So,
I mean, they got autographs and photo ops with people and, you know, as part of
their package.
Yeah. So, I mean, depending on who it was with,
that's
could
cool.
have been, you know, like, I'm not saying it was with Hayden, but like if you would have done the autograph and photo op with Hayden, that's $400 right there.
Right. Yeah.
So
anyway,
but yeah.
Cool times.
It was a great time. So yeah. Like, again, thanks Casey, Roger, Chris for being awesome and hanging all weekend and.
Yeah, it was
making
nice
it fun.
Just run into people that I hadn't seen in a couple years.
Yeah, call out to the guys from the Rogue Squadron podcast, Cody. You know, those guys are great. You know, Billy. We saw Billy. We saw Josh.
Yeah.
That was great running into those guys. So, yeah.
I got to see Jordan Hembro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see him
which,
there.
Yeah, so. Well, I know him. So.
Yeah, I know you know him.
Yeah,
so.
I got to talk to him for a couple minutes. But. Busy guy.
Yeah.
So,
and
I mean, between... He works for Lucasfilm now and he's doing his Hollywood Heroes.
Oh,
so
okay.
You know, he was up on the Star Wars stage shooting off the t-shirt gun a couple times.
Fun.
So. Yeah. And that was cool. That's thanks to Star Wars show.
Yeah.
For bringing these people out on stage, like close enough that you're not like either sitting in a panel room where you are very far back, but like you could go up and be 10 feet from them and actually get to see them.
I was actually joking with Roger when Daisy Ridley was out.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, we're in the same room and we're like 20 feet away from her. In a lot of cultures, that means we're married to her.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. That means you're married to Kathleen Kennedy too. Then.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, she runs the show, man. So I have zero issue with that. So, all right.
Yep. I'm curious to see when they'll do the Anaheim show though. So
yeah. And I'm also interested to see what happens next because the other movies are all on hold right now. Star Wars is on a hiatus for a bit movie wise.
Supposedly. They're saying the same thing about Marvel and I'm like, no.
Well, Marvel's not on a hiatus because there's 4 movies in production right now.
But they said they're on hiatus. They're
after that
released in a while. So who knows?
We'll see. Anyway.
I'm looking forward to the Game of Thrones guys working on a Star Wars movie.
Or series of movies.
I want to see them do a
trilogy. I'd like to see them do a trilogy as well. And I'd like to see them do a Knights of the Old Republic trilogy.
Something.
But cool.
They
cool.
could do a Darth Maul trilogy for yeah. all I care.
That would be sweet.
Black Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool. All
right. Cool. On that note, we'll be back next week. We'll probably talk about the first two episodes of Game of Thrones, maybe. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Maybe we'll do a year.
Yeah. We talked about doing that, too.
Yeah.
All right, guys. On that note, thanks for listening. May the Force be with you. We'll see you next time.
I am one with the Force, and the Force is one with me.
The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.